Welcome to the Watoto Church Podcast. Prepare your heart as we listen to the message.
Pastor Brian, thank you so much for leading us in that great time of prayer and just encouraging our hearts with that particular word there. I want to encourage you to know this, that when we pray in Jesus' name, the Father indeed hears and answers us. So be encouraged in that as well. Right now, I want us to get into the word, but do you know what month it is? It is December. And what's December all about? Christmas. It's the Christmas season, the time when we're going to sing some Christmas carols and hymns and this and that. And it's a great season to remember the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, some of the shops around town here already are playing some of these Christmas songs, and I'm really, really looking forward to what God has to do for you and in you in this season in particular right here. And so to get us started off in our message today, let's read a portion of scripture that is related to the Christmas season, shall we? Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18 to 25, read something like this. It says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. For he will save his people from their sins.' All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. 'Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us.' So when Joseph woke up from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and he took his wife, but he never knew her until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus." Father, thank you for your word. With simplicity, with clarity, yet in the profoundness of your spirit, may your word go out to heal, to change, to refresh, to revive, and to encourage. Bless your people as you anoint your servant. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. In Isaiah 7 and 14 is where we actually find the prophecy. So Matthew chapter 1 is the fulfillment of that prophecy that the Lord actually gave to the children of Israel. You see, the Christmas season around the world is a time where most people look forward to celebrating and to rejoicing and to having fun, a time when they eat good food, a time when they travel to different places. It is a time of festivity. I know many people preparing to travel up country, like here in Uganda, or they're traveling around the country just to rejoice and celebrate in this season. It's so festive. Really good food happens on that season. But the unfortunate reality is this, that the Christmas season has become more and more about these things and less about the reason for Christmas. And so in the season that we are in these messages that we're going to preach, we want to remind us of what that really means. From what I read in Matthew chapter 1, the angel came to Joseph and said, "Mary will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill that which the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means what? God with us. If you didn't know, Jesus' other name is Emmanuel, meaning God is with us. And that's the title of our sermon series that we are getting into over the next couple of weeks, to just remind us that Christmas is that time when God came to dwell with us. It's the time that God came to make his livelihood amongst men, and for a particular reason which we shall see as we carry along the way. You see, the Bible says this, that when he was born, God came to dwell among us. And you and I need to realize that the one we celebrate at Christmas is no ordinary child. He's not just a good teacher. Jesus is not just a good miracle worker or a powerful man or just a mere prophet. He's much more than these things. He's much more than the Lamb of God who came to take away the sins of the world. Jesus is, in fact, God. And so in our very first message, we need to establish that when we say God is with us, we're actually saying Jesus is God. And that's going to be my message for today in this series, Jesus is God. John chapter 1 and verse 1 to 4 reads this, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men." So when the Bible says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and it was in the beginning with God, that word, Word, really is representative of the promise, the word of promise. And God promised a Savior to the world in Genesis chapter 3. And all through the Old Testament, we see that promise being repeated. And finally, John tells us that that word, that promise came to effect. That promise came to pass the day that Jesus was born. Because John chapter 1 and verse 14 reads and says this, "And the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us." Which word is this? The word that is God, the promise. So literally speaking, the promise was that God himself would come to save humanity. So when we say Emmanuel, God with us, it was a fulfillment of that prophecy. It was a fulfillment of that word. And therefore, when he came to the earth, literally speaking, the Bible is telling us that Jesus is God manifest in the flesh. Now, we will deal about the humanity of Jesus in the message that comes ahead. But for today, we want to just focus on the fact that Jesus is God. Well, what does that look like for us? What's the God nature that Jesus has that you and I need to learn today so that as we go through Christmas, we are soberly reminded that the one we celebrate is indeed God. Colossians chapter 1 and 15 to 20 reads this. Please follow along with me in your Bible or on the screen as you shall see right now. It says this, "He is the image." Who is the He? In this context, Paul was talking about Jesus. "He is the image of the invisible God." An image is a representation of the true thing. In fact, the book of Hebrews tells us that Jesus is the exact imprint or the exact representation of God. So if God has fingerprints, if Jesus put his fingerprint and God put his fingerprint, it would be the exact same fingerprint. In a sense, Jesus is God. He's the firstborn over all creation. Now, I'll touch on that a little bit more when I go down. "For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him." Essentially, Jesus is the creator of all things. So when you hear things like, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth," what do you think that means? It's simply saying that Jesus created all things. So the one we celebrate is in fact the creator of all things. Jesus created you, if you didn't know that. He's not just the Son of God, but he created you. He's not just a miracle worker, but he created you. And the Bible is very clear here. He has all authority. Because it says, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, everything that thinks that it has authority, it all comes from the person of Jesus. Because Jesus is indeed God. And if he has all authority, guess what? Nothing is impossible for Jesus. Wow. Verse 17 reads and says, "He is before all things, and in him all things hold together." Wow. When he says he is before all things, I want to tie that back to what I said earlier on, when he says that he is the firstborn over all creation. Simply put, what the scripture is trying to tell us is that Jesus has eternally existed. There has never been a time when Jesus was not, and there'll never be a time when Jesus will not be. Because Jesus is God, he has always eternally existed. Wow. So the one you celebrate is eternal. And there's only one person who is eternal, and that's God. Wow. Beautiful things right here. And I love the fact that it says, "In him all things hold together." In him. Yeah, the reference to this that I want you to remember is in Hebrews chapter 1. It says that, "And through him," who? Jesus. Okay? "He holds all things together by the power of his word." Jesus holds all things together. In John chapter 8, there's a very interesting conversation that Jesus is having. His disciples were in there, but the Pharisees were there and the Jews were all around him and asking him all sorts of questions. And in chapter 8 of John, from about verses 54 to 59, there's a conversation about Abraham. And then Jesus says these words, "Before Abraham was, I am." Essentially, what Jesus is saying, that I am God. The name I am was only reference to God. And the Jews knew that. That's why they wanted to stone him. So when Jesus said, "Before Abraham was, I am," he was essentially saying, "I am God. I have always existed. I've eternally existed. There's never been a time when I have not been. I have always been." Verse 18 says, "And he is the head of the body," which is the church. Jesus is the head of his church. Not you, not me, nor any pastor, no apostle, no prophet. It's Jesus, the head of the church. God is that who owns the church. "He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy." Again, that word comes back there. It's just a reminder that he was before all things. He has supremacy, meaning that he would have the final word on all things. He rose from the dead that he would have the final word on all things. Taking back that which we lost in the Garden of Eden. If you were wondering if Jesus is God, I hope you really see that he is God. Verse 19 to 20, give me another shade and just bring in together this whole aspect of God becoming flesh. Verse 19 says, "For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross." You see, God willingly and lovingly subjected himself to the form of a man, that he would be able to suffer your sufferings, take your death, take your punishment, carry your cross, so that when you would put your faith in him, you would receive the forgiveness of sins. But not only that, he rose from the grave that you might have life, life everlasting. Wow. God subjected himself to the form of a man. And that's why today we celebrate communion. That's why today we remind ourselves of the greatest act of love, when God through Jesus came to the earth. So what does this mean for you and I, now that we know that God with us really means that Jesus is God and Emmanuel is really God coming to dwell among men? What should that do for you and for me? Well, two things I want to leave you with is that since Jesus is God and he is with us, worship him. Yep, you heard me right. Worship Jesus. Bow your knees to him and worship him. The scriptures tell us of the story of the three wise men when they saw the star of Bethlehem, and when they finally found when the star stood over where Jesus was, they came to Jesus and they bowed down to him. Matthew chapter 2, verse 11 reads this way, "And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they did what? Fell down," literally. Fell down. In fact, let me show you. They fell down and they worshipped him. Because they recognized that the one that they were looking at was no ordinary baby. They recognized that the one they were looking at was more than a baby in the manger. They recognized in their spirit that this one here is indeed God. So bow your knees and worship him. Revere him, reverence him, exalt him, magnify him. I know we easily say, "Jesus is my buddy, he's my friend, he's this and that." And that's true, but I need you to don't take that too far and forget that he's God. Don't familiarize Jesus, because familiarity breeds contempt. Always walk in reverence to God. Walk in reverence to Jesus. So don't just use his name anyhow. Oh, Jesus, Jesus. No. Worship that God. Worship Jesus. He's the one and only true God who created you. So even in the season of Christmas, would you pause as an individual? Would you pause as a family? Just get together and just worship Jesus. Exalt Jesus. Consider what he did for you and fall face to the ground and bless his holy name. You see, because he is with us, that means wherever I go, God is with me. So I need to live my life as an act of worship. I cannot live anyhow. I cannot take things for granted. I cannot play around with sin, Because now my body has become a temple of God, has become the dwelling of God. Therefore, wherever I go, I walk with God. That means I need to carry myself as a son of God and allow that God would be exalted in my life and through my life. Therefore, live a life that pleases God. I pray that this Christmas you will awake and realize that the one that we worship is more than a baby in the manger. Jesus is God. Submit to him. Acknowledge your sin. Repent of them. Turn away from them and allow God to be the Lord of your life. But the second thing I want you to consider is, since Jesus is God and he's with us, is be encouraged in him. Be encouraged in him. The Bible tells us in John 14 and 23, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word and my Father will love him and we will come to him and make our home with him. I love this portion of scripture because it's an interesting thing to think about. Consider this, that God extends his residential address to your heart. So heaven moves to your heart. Now God is omnipresent. He's in heaven, he's on earth, he's everywhere at the same time. But imagine this, God decides to reside in your heart. The Son and the Father and the Holy Spirit make their home with you. Can you just imagine that for a moment? The creator of the universe, the one who is preeminent, the one who is all-powerful, the one who is glorious, the one who was before all things and will be there even when all things are destroyed, the one who is eternal, moves from heaven and comes and lives on the inside of you. I mean, essentially God says, I will come and do life with you. I will encourage you on this journey of life. I will walk beside you. I will hold your hand when you're struggling. When you're going through the fire, I will be with you. There's nothing impossible for me. Therefore, draw strength from me. Draw encouragement that God is on your side. We just came out of a series of we are more than conquerors. Why? Because Christ Jesus gives us that victory. So you need to know this, that Jesus is indeed God and he is with you. Therefore, you can draw encouragement from him. Are you downcast? Are you in despair? Are you bruised? Are you broken? Are you diseased? Are you challenged? Are you confused? Hey, look, God is with you. God is with you. Matthew 28, Jesus tells the disciples, to the very end of the age, I will be with you. He has promised never to leave you, nor will he forsake you. He has. So when you talk about God with us, it's the assurance of his presence, his person, and his power in your life. There's a story of Paul in Acts chapter 27 when he was being taken to Rome to stand before Caesar. While in the sea, there was a great storm that hit so bad that for so many days there was darkness over them. And in verse 20 of Acts chapter 27, it says, when there was neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, no small tempest lay on us, all hope of being saved was lost. It was abandoned. It was so bad, they had no reason to believe that there was life beyond the next day. Maybe you're in that state. Maybe you're going through some beating, some storms that are hitting you really hard. And I know the year of 2020 and the year of 2021 have really had a very big impact in our lives with the loss of loved ones, losses of jobs, and all these things here. And can be rather dark. But in the midst of this hopelessness, Paul stands up to encourage them. Verse 22, he says, yet now I urge you, take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only the sheep. Why would Paul be this confident? Why would he draw this and in the midst of this darkness say, look, all will be well. Why? Verse 23 tells us, Paul says this, for this very night there stood before me an angel of God to whom I belong and whom I worship. You see, look at this. Paul had already put his faith in Jesus. The God that I worship is the God that gives me encouragement. Mark that. And the angel said, do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar, and behold, God has granted you all those who sail with you. And this was Paul's response. He said, so take heart, men, those who are on the ship, for I have faith in God that it will be exactly as I have been told. Let me say, when God has promised you, he will fulfill his word in your life. He promised to send Jesus, and he sent Jesus. Now, Jesus came, dwelt among us. He experienced the sufferings we experienced so that when we put our faith in him, we would find encouragement in him. Now, we'll talk a little bit more about this next week, but I want you to know this. You can be encouraged in Jesus. Through your highs and through your lows, through your valleys and through your mountains, through your rivers, through every circumstance, good and bad, whatever that situation may look like, God is with you in that situation. So, friend, don't give up hope. During this Christmas, it may look bleak for you, but during this Christmas, not only worship Jesus, but draw strength and encouragement from him. Psalm 27 says this, and David said, I would have lost hope, I would have lost heart if I had not believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. God is with you. So what do we do? In conclusion, I want you to know this. When you put your faith in Jesus, you have put your faith in God. When you put your faith in God, God shifts his address into your heart. He comes to do life with you, to help you in this journey of life. Therefore, because Jesus is God, worship him and be encouraged in him. For my brother, my sister who's watching, you do not know Jesus. I want you to obey the word of God today. Be born again. John 14:23 has said this, for all who love Jesus and obey his commandment, the Father will love them and they will move into their heart. God wants to extend his address into your heart. Would you believe in him today? Would you acknowledge your sins? And would you acknowledge that you need forgiveness? On a day like this that we remember the death of Jesus during the time of communion, I want you to know this. Jesus died for you. He took on the form of a man. God took on the form of a man that he would pay the price for your sins, that you would not perish but have everlasting life. Would you put your faith in Jesus today? If you say, that is me, Pastor, I'm going to lead you in a simple prayer. And I want you to mean this from the bottom of your heart. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your Son Jesus, who is indeed God. Thank you for taking my place and paying the price for my sins. I acknowledge my sins. I confess them. Forgive me and make me your child. In Jesus' name, amen. If you've just done that, stay tuned and you'll get more details on how we can connect with you to help you in that journey of salvation. But let me pray for you. You, Pastor, who is already a believer. Father, I pray for everyone that already has their faith in you, that you, oh God, will in this day reveal and continue to reveal yourself to them, that they will worship you, that they would love you, that they would find strength and encouragement in you. Lord, reveal the fact that you are with them in the midst of that storm. Give them strength, give them peace, give them hope that they need. Give them that word like you gave Paul so that they would hold on to that word, so that together we can say, surely God, thank you for that. God bless you. Well, I wish you a very, very Merry Christmas as you get ready to celebrate our Lord Jesus today.
Thank you for listening. We hope this sets you up to live a truly blessed life. Tune in next time as we continue to explore the scriptures and learn how we can overcome fear with our faith. For comments and feedback or counseling, write to connect@watotochurch.com.